Wesley is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across East Midlands today. This is their story. In Lincoln, where hospital wards face chronic nursing shortages, people who want to train as registered nurses are being turned away from courses that have the capacity to teach them. The training infrastructure exists, the motivated candidates exist, but artificial budget caps are blocking the connection between them. Here is how it felt to live through that contradiction.
I grew up in Lincoln as the son of a mechanic and a teaching assistant. My grandmother spent her final months on the elderly care ward at Lincoln County Hospital, and watching the healthcare assistants care for her with such skill and compassion showed me what I wanted to do with my life. After finishing my A-levels at Lincoln College, I took a job as a healthcare assistant on that same ward in 2016, determined to work my way up to becoming a registered nurse. For 3 years, I watched our ward struggle with chronic nursing shortages. We had brilliant healthcare assistants, but we needed more registered nurses to supervise medications, lead care plans, and provide the clinical oversight that keeps patients safe. The work was demanding but rewarding. Every shift reinforced my determination to train as a registered nurse myself. I had strong references from my ward managers and the clinical experience that would make me a stronger student. In 2019, I applied to the University of Lincoln's nursing program. The rejection letter arrived in March 2019. Thank you for your application. Unfortunately, the cohort is fully funded with only 85 places available this year. Fully funded. That phrase stuck with me because it sounded positive, like the university had secured all the money it needed. I assumed I would have better luck the following year and kept working on the ward, gaining more experience. I reapplied in 2020. Same letter, same phrase. Unfortunately, the cohort is fully funded with only 85 places available. I called the admissions office to ask what fully funded meant. The administrator explained that Health Education England East Midlands set the number of funded places each year based on their budget allocation. If I wanted to study nursing, I would need to self-fund, which meant finding approximately £27,000 for fees and living costs while doing unpaid clinical placements. In 2021, I tried again. Identical rejection. This time, I contacted Health Education England East Midlands directly. The programme manager was sympathetic but clear. There is no funding for additional nursing places despite rising vacancy rates. Treasury spending limits have capped our training budgets. She explained it like a household budget problem. The money had run out. These things happen. Everyone understood. I accepted this explanation initially. Budgets have limits. The NHS faces financial pressures. It sounded reasonable until I decided to visit the University of Lincoln campus in early 2022 to see what I was missing. The School of Health and Social Care occupied a modern building with lecture halls designed for 150 students. I walked through corridors lined with clinical skills laboratories and high-tech simulation suites. Most were empty. In one room, I found clinical equipment is still in manufacturer's packaging. A passing lecturer noticed my interest and explained that they had physical capacity for 150 nursing students, but funding for fewer than 90. We could easily teach more students, she said, but the money isn't there. Standing in those empty lecture halls, I began to see the contradiction. The building existed, the equipment existed, the qualified lecturers existed, the clinical placement sites existed because our ward always had student nurses training with us. The people who wanted to train existed because I kept meeting healthcare assistants like myself, who had applied repeatedly and been rejected. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? Around the same time, I met Javid, a healthcare assistant from Ashfield, who had faced identical barriers trying to retrain as a mental health nurse. His local NHS trust was desperate for mental health nurses, but he had been rejected from training programs 3 years running with the same fully funded explanation. We compared notes and realised we were seeing the same pattern across East Midlands, empty training places, while people who wanted to fill them were turned away. I started volunteering with a local health advocacy group documenting these contradictions. We found example after example of artificial scarcity, training infrastructure sitting idle while motivated candidates were rejected, wards struggling with staff shortages while qualified applicants could not access courses. Every institution cited the same reason: budget constraints imposed by Treasury spending limits. But here was what I could not understand. The UK government issues the pound. The Bank of England creates new money when the Treasury spends. The government does not need to find existing pounds before it can pay for nursing training. It creates the pounds by spending them. The real question was never whether enough printed notes existed in some vault. The real question was whether we had enough lecture halls, enough qualified teachers, enough clinical placements, enough motivated students. We did. All of them. I had seen them with my own eyes. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. Treasury had decided that training more nurses was not a priority worth spending new pounds into existence for. They applied household logic to a currency issuer, as though the government could run out of the money it creates by spending. Where I am now, 6 years after my first application, I still work as a healthcare assistant. I love the work, but I watch our ward struggle with the same nursing shortages that drove me to apply for training in the first place. The wards still need registered nurses. The training infrastructure still exists. The motivated candidates still exist. What has not changed is the political choice to treat nursing education as an expense to be rationed, rather than an investment to be made. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. What happened to me was not bad luck. It was not an unfortunate shortage of resources. It was a series of political decisions made by people in Treasury who had alternatives and chose constraint over investment. My story is not unique to Lincoln. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Wesley experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique works by presenting biased sources as neutral authorities, making political choices seem like objective facts. A simple example. In the 1950s, tobacco companies funded scientists to claim smoking was safe. These were real scientists producing real studies, but their conclusions were shaped by who paid them and what questions they were allowed to ask. The technique was not obvious fraud, but selective expertise presented as universal truth. In Wesley's story, every institution cited economists and policy experts who treated household budget logic as self-evident. Health Education England referenced Treasury guidance, Treasury referenced fiscal responsibility frameworks, NHS England referenced spending constraints, each cited the others in a closed loop of assumed authority. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Those who treat government budgets as household budgets are one school of thought, not the whole discipline. Presenting their view as settled science is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. And in Wesley's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Lincoln ranks 217 out of 543 English constituencies on the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, published by MHCLG. the constituency has 2,426 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Local organisations received £13.3 million in total grants recorded by 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional, every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.